Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good evening, everyone. A special welcome to the guests who join us this evening here at Corpus Christi Parish. Some of you are probably out petting the animals and playing with all the animals in the slingshot before you came here at our Harvest Festival. It was a beautiful day for it. One kid outside was holding what I thought was a little baby. And then as I got closer, I thought, oh, it's a little puppy. And I walked up and saw the kid's arms, and it was a baby pig just rocking it to sleep. It was the weirdest thing. But here at Corpus Christi, all are welcome, right? So, and everyone's comfortable taking a nap. For those who have joined us again, you're always welcome here at our parish family. In the gospel today, we hear a very strong challenge from Jesus about making sure that our life has nothing that stops us from pursuing him, from sharing him, from finally getting to heaven. And so for the times where we have not done that ourselves, let's take a moment to ask the Lord for his saving mercy. Our readings tonight, all three, give us some very good direction, I think. Often, whenever I preach, I just pick one and try to kind of go for that one and kind of get the message out. And then hopefully 3 years from now or whatever, when we hear that reading again, I'll pick a different one so you're not bored, right? Tonight, all three of them, I think, tell us something that they go together, in fact. The three things that I want to say tonight is that you can share the faith. You can do it. You need to cut out anything that stops you from sharing the faith. And finally, you need to make no excuse and just actually do it. You can share the faith, get rid of the things that stop you, and above all, get to work. Do it. The first one, you can share the faith. Today, I was out at the Harvest Fest for several hours in the middle of the day, and as I was going around saying hello to people and talking, I saw one of our parishioners sitting on a bench in the playground. He's not here tonight, so I can embarrass him a little bit. His name rhymes with Tim Zeller. Anyways, he was sitting down there talking to somebody else on the bench, a guy who doesn't go to our parish. And the kids were swinging and playing, and they were just chit-chatting. And so I went over and said hello, and as we were talking about things, he introduced me to this other guy that was there, and I've already forgotten his first name. But anyways, Tim, right in the middle of our conversation, Tim looked at this guy that I didn't know until that moment, and he said, "You need to come to Monday Night Mass at Sacred Heart sometime." And I was like, "Yeah, you do," to this guy. I didn't know if he was Catholic or not, right? And so to try to soften it, because I thought maybe that guy might have felt awkward, I said, "Oh yeah, there's actually a lot of little kids that come too," because this man had several little kids running around the playground. And Tim goes, "No, forget the kids. You need to get yourself there, you know, right to the guy, right? Like just, he's zeroed in, right? And tell this guy." As I walked away, we talked for a little while long after that, but it wasn't awkward at all. It was actually really powerful and good. And as I walked away, I thought, man, if we had a whole parish of people doing that, once a month, even, we'd have to build a new church. We would. And I thought, I thought about how most of the time, I think, in our world today, everyone has their role, right? If I want to get better at exercise, I go find a trainer and they teach me how to do exercise. If I want to get a certain kind of meat, I go to a specialty butcher shop, right? We have these, we take our kids to soccer practice and then to band practice and then to school. And each of these groups of people, they do the thing that we pay them to do. And too often, I think that we rely on the staff of our parish to do the things that we can actually be doing ourselves. I don't have to invite somebody to Mass. That's our deacon's job, right? Or the priest's job. Or another staff person. I don't have to teach my kids the faith because that's my religion teacher's job. In reality, they say that if you see something that's wrong with the world, change yourself. You see something wrong out there? Change you and see what happens out there. I thought that was a great example that I heard or saw today from one of our own parishioners. And I think that that's what we see in the gospel today. Jesus, at the very beginning of the gospel from Mark chapter 9, John comes to Jesus, and John is like the favorite kid. He's the one who never gets it wrong. Like if Jesus was going to pick the best apostle to make the Pope out of, he should have picked John and not Peter, because Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth, you know? But John today gets it wrong. He goes to Jesus and says, "People were preaching in your name or trying to work miracles because they're not like us, we tried to stop them." And Jesus says, "No, don't stop them. If what they're doing is not against what I'm doing, go for it. You know, they don't have to have the collar on like I do in order to preach the faith. You can do it too. Same, first reading, same way. Moses in the book of Numbers, God gives a special blessing to the people, but two guys missed out on it. Eldad and Medad, or whatever their names were, two dads. They missed out on it, not unlike many dads today. They missed out on the moment, and so they started saying, well, we can kind of just join in anyway. And Joshua tries to stop them, and Moses says, no. If what they're saying is at least somewhat good, it doesn't have to be perfect. In other words, if you're at work and someone says a bad word, and you don't know how to teach them that, you know, saying bad words is bad, maybe you can just walk away, and that alone will teach them a lesson, you know? Each of us has a role to play in sharing the faith, either by teaching it or by the way we live as an example. And all of us can do it, no matter where you are. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a business executive, whether you teach kids at school, or whether you're a teenager yourself, each of us can show it by our actions and by our words. You don't have a position. Secondly, get rid of the things that stop you from sharing the faith. There's a great story I like to tell every time I hear this gospel, but I'll cut it down to a very short version because I've told it many times already. You guys have heard the story. I think there's a movie called 127 Hours, maybe? Or it's 100-something hours. Is it 127? It's a bunch of hours. Anyways, this guy goes on, Aaron Ralston is his name. He goes on a hiking trip out west all by himself. He goes down, as he's crawling down a canyon, a boulder breaks loose, and the boulder starts to fall, and he starts to fall. Unfortunately, the boulder fell faster than he did, and his arm got stuck between the boulder and the canyon wall. And he was hanging there, his arm. And after 127 hours, I think, of him hanging there, he realized the only way to get out of that canyon alive was to leave part of himself behind. And so he made the difficult choice, and I'll spare the gruesome details, to leave his arm behind to crawl back out without it to try to find help, and he did. After that, he was interviewed by somebody, and they said, how did you find the courage to cut your arm off? With his little pocket knife that he had. And he said, I had a dream, and in the dream I saw my son, and he didn't have a son. And he said, I realized the only way I was ever going to have a son is if I didn't have an arm. That's what gave him the courage. Amazing, right? He knew that by leaving something behind, he could get something greater. And how many of us need to leave things behind? Just today, I told you guys the story about Chris, the homeless guy, that I helped, you know, about a month ago, food and sleeping bag and stuff, and how he stole our bike. Remember I told this story? You remember this story? Anyways, a homeless guy came to our house, and I helped him for like a day and a half and spent a whole bunch of money on him, and then he ended up stealing our bike to get to the bus station to get to Ohio, and he made it to Ohio to see his daughter, and that's a good thing, but we still were bikeless because of it. Anyways, I talked about how ungrateful he seemed because he stole our bike on top of me giving him like $500 worth of things. Anyways, yesterday, guess who showed up at our door? Chris, the homeless guy. He came back. He made it to Ohio, hung out with his family for a while, decided to come back here. Thank you, God, right? When I saw who was at the door, I have to say, I was a bit, I was mad. I thought, who do you think you are, right? That's what I thought. So I talked to him for a while outside, and he got back home, and he saw his daughter, but he has another daughter who's in jail in Kentucky near here, and he wanted to see if he could get to this other daughter to see her, and he said, I know that you'll help me, and I thought, yeah, I'll help you, you know? Anyways, I had to cool down because I'm a sinful man, and I didn't have the charity in my heart, and so instead I said, okay, well, let me see what I can do for you, and I went in the house, and I thought, what do I do? And so I called the Evansville Rescue Mission and said, do you guys have a room? And they said, yes, we'll save one for him, and so I went back outside and said, Chris, can I get you down there? Will that work? And he goes, oh, sure. Can I borrow a bike? Seriously, he said it. And I said, well, we used to have one, but anyways, you know. He said he knew nothing about it, but you know, maybe he didn't. I don't know. Anyways, and so he said, well, can you just take me down there in your car? And I said, I'll call you a cab. And I did. I called him a cab, and the cab came. And as I gave the cab driver money to take him down to the rescue mission, he went. As I gave him the money, I realized the only reason I wouldn't put him in my car is because my car is too nice. And he might make it smell, and his bags and stuff are really dirty and greasy, and I didn't want that in my nice car. And then after that, I thought, Is my car stopping me from loving God's people? I think that many of us have many of those things. I've got to keep my workout routine, and that stops us from praying. Or I've got to keep my standing in the community, and so I've got to go buy this nice thing. And by buying this nice thing, I am less likely to give to this thing that came up that I wasn't expecting. Or we've got a habit that prevents us, maybe a sinful one. And we'd rather just keep that going than to be finally free. Instead, we just say, well, it's not that bad, and we go to confession. Maybe we don't even go to confession. Today, Jesus in the gospel says, if your eye causes you to sin, he says, pluck it out. Now, does Jesus want you to cut your eye out? I hope not, because I see things all the time that make me think sinful thoughts. And I don't think he wants us to maim ourselves, but yet he doesn't ever. When Jesus says, you have a place in heaven, there's many rooms in my Father's house, does he mean that? And when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, if you eat my flesh, you're going to heaven, does he mean that? When he says, love your neighbor as yourself and pray for those who persecute you, does he mean that? When he says, I'm going to come back for you one day, and if you've lived in my love, then you'll have a life forever in my love, does he mean that? You know, I think when he says today in the gospel to pluck your eye out if it causes you to sin, I think he does mean it. Because I think he's trying to say, it'd be better for you to never see your grandchildren ever again than to never see God's face in heaven. I think he's saying it would be better for you to never receive your mom's favorite cookie on your hand than to never touch your mother's face when she leaves before you do from this world, ever again in heaven. That's what I think Jesus means. He says, if there's something that stops you from loving or from living the way that I want you to, get rid of it. Whatever it takes, get rid of it. And finally, the last point is to actually do it. Last weekend, I preached about praying before you go to bed, right? Today, at the Harvest Fest, a little kid came up, a kid that I don't know very well, actually. He doesn't go to our school, so he only heard this homily on the weekend at Mass. He didn't hear it at the school Mass. He came up to me, and he said, hi, Father. And I said, hello. He's a first grader. And he said, I prayed this week. And I said, good for you. And he goes, but we actually knelt down. And I said, awesome, right? And gave him a fist bump. And he said, it was the first time my dad prayed with me before I went to bed at night. And that was both bittersweet, right? It was bitter because I thought the first time, but sweet because I thought he did it, you know? So I went and found his dad because his dad was there. And I said, hey, Father Tyler, nice to meet you. And I said, your son said that you guys prayed together this week before he went to bed. And he goes, thank you for opening that door for us. Right? Because they heard someone say it. They did it, you know? And that doesn't pat me on the back. I'm saying that story to go back to the first point. It doesn't have to be me, folks. It doesn't have to be me to tell you to do something good. You find a podcast. Read a book. Get information however you get information. Talk to someone who's holy and does it well. Call or text Tim Zeller, all right? He knows what he's doing. Anyways, the third point tonight is to actually do it. That's what the second reading is about. We hear in the second reading that we've done all of these things to build up our life on earth, but we've forgotten about eternal life. And that's because it will, in the end, that will condemn us. Because in the end, Jesus wants us to know our place, to get rid of the stuff that stops us, and ultimately to live always in his love. I think the gospel and the readings tonight are powerful. And perhaps what's more powerful than the readings could be your life this week if you live them.